Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Book Buzz with Susanna Greenberg, a show all about books. And this morning we will be speaking with Riley K. Temple. He's the author of a new book called Aunt Esther's Children Redeemed, Journeys to Freedom in August Wilson's 10 Plays of 20th Century Black America. Good morning, Mr. Temple. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your writing career and how you came to write this book about the plays of August Wilson.
Sure. For about 40 years, I practiced law here in Washington, D.C., a telecommunications lawyer, actually, and I became curious about theology and learning more. I never wanted to become ordained, so I went to seminary. And I'd always written a lot, but in seminary I wrote so much more. And when I say to people that seminary or the study of theology for me was liberating, they look at me like I'm crazy. But it was liberating in the sense that there were no filters. We were encouraged, at least I was encouraged, to not be concerned about heresy. I began to write about theology through secular literature. And I've always loved the theater. And one day it occurred to me that the plays of August Wilson that I had always loved had theological themes. And so I began to, in earnest, to examine those and decided to do an honors thesis. And that honors thesis has become Aunt Esther's Children Redeemed.
Uh-huh. And tell us, who is Aunt Esther in the plays of August Wilson, and who are her children?
Okay. August Wilson, the playwright, 1945 to 2005, died at the age of 60, wrote one play for each decade of the 20th century in Black America. He didn't begin by doing that, but decided while he realized he had written three plays and they were taking place in each in a separate decade, and so he decided to keep on. And so that became what is called the century cycle. During the course of writing the plays, he talks about how a character spoke to him, and her name was Aunt Esther. And she is as old as the number of years that blacks have been on American soil. So when we first meet her in Gem of the Ocean, in the first play, she is 266 years old. And when she dies, she's 366 years old. So she is the embodiment of everything that is black in America, and we are all her children because she embodies all that we are, our history, our lore, our culture, our triumphs, our tragedies, our ancestry, and our goals, our objectives, all that we are, she embodies. She's this mythical character, and she appears only once. He says on the play, in the plays, she's talked about in two plays and appears only once. But she provides sustenance and the source of wisdom. She is, he says that she is his most important character because we're all descended from her. There's even a take on her name. You pronounced it Aunt Esther, and that, if you say it quickly, is ancestor. Esther is spelled E-S-T-E-R, no H, and that's deliberate.
Uh-huh.
So she's the ancestral figure.
Oh, I see. I hadn't thought of that, Aunt Esther. tell us a little bit more, tell the listeners more about who August Wilson was and his most important influences that are important in his plays.
Yeah, August Wilson grew up in Pittsburgh, and it's the place where all of the plays take place, with one exception, which is Chicago. And that's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom in Chicago, and it's about the blues and jazz world. And Chicago, in the Hill District of Pittsburgh, which is where all these plays take place, Chicago has become sort of an Eden, a place to seek out, a place of dreams and goals. And Ma Rainey is kind of the realization of that. But August grew up in Pittsburgh, and he was a very good student, and he went to school and he wrote a paper once, and the teacher looked at him and said, "I'm not grading this because you didn't write it." August, of course, knew he had written the play, and the teacher didn't believe that he had the capacity to write, had written the paper. The teacher didn't believe he had the capacity to write a paper of this quality. So August decided that he would leave school, and instead of going every day to school, he went to the public library. And he says he read every book in the public library. And that's how he became a writer. He also sat around in the bars and the barbershops and the clubs of the Hill District of Pittsburgh, and he had what the New York Times critic Ben Brantley calls a peerless set of ears, because he listened to that dialogue, that patois that takes place among black men particularly. And you find that poetry and that cadence and that lyricism in all of his plays. He writes about wholeness. It is a century cycle of examining what happens to a people, in this case African Americans, who need to regain identity and a sense of self and wholeness after 250 years of chattel slavery. And so therefore it takes place in the Great Migration from the rural South to the industrial North during the 20th century, the beginning in the 1900s, you know, to the end in the year 1999. And of course that is an Exodus story, from oppression to freedom, from slavery to freedom, from despair to hope, which is what we're about to celebrate in this time of season of Passover and Easter. And so it's quite apt to talk about August Wilson during this time of year. He also said that blues played a great role but blues was perhaps the greatest influence in his work. He bought an album in a secondhand store, and it was a recording of Bessie Smith singing, "No One Can Bake a Sweet Jelly Roll Like Mine." And August said he listened to that over and over and over and over again, and he finally realized, this is me, this is my song, this is what I've been wanting to hear all of my life. And he became one with the blues. And when you read the plays, you see the blues cadence throughout. The reason that has resonance theologically is because the blues and the spirituals both generated in black America. The blues and the spirituals are one and the same, in that they both begin in a source, in a place of pain, but they end in an affirmation of life. Except one is secular and one is sacred. And so you find these people singing the blues all the time. Also, he's a collegist. Romare Bearden was a collegist, and August Wilson loved his work. In fact, he wrote the foreword to Andrew Schwartzman's definitive work on Romare Bearden. And August Wilson's creative process was that he would write speeches on Post-its. And instead of sitting down to write play, he would combine those Post-it notes, and it was to create dialogue and discussion among the characters. And so Romare Bearden was that kind of influence for him. And so his plays are a series of collages.
So many influences from so many disciplines, from poetry to art to blues to spirituals to religion. the history. That's a fascinating mix of interdisciplinary sources, I would say. Tell us, you know, everyone has seen, or most people have seen now, the movie Fences with Denzel Washington. And how are those themes evident in the movie Fences with Denzel Washington?
Yes, you know, if you look at the place, Pittsburgh, Onester did not exist when, in August Wilson's imagination, when Fences was written. But Rose Maxson is a precursor to Onester, and the reason she is because she is, in fact, a source of wisdom in that household. She is the redeemer. She's the saver. She's the sustainer. When and that wonderful scene in which Troy Maxson, Denzel Washington, looks at her and says, don't you think that I am in pain because I have been standing in one place all these years? And she looks at him and she says, well, I have been standing here with you. She's not there to protect him, as God is not there to protect us, but she is there to be with him, to sustain him, to support him. When her son comes home and says, I'm not going to my father's funeral, she says, you know, you have your resentments, but you just set those aside. Just put them over there. You must free yourself. That won't make you a man by not going to your father's funeral. Free yourself and you go. That's when you know that you have become a man. So these issues of finding freedom, redemption, wholeness, Rose guides everybody to that place.
That's interesting. You mentioned how it's the... Oh, go on. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I happen to note that the strong women characters, you spoke about the men in the bar being the source of the patois, but have some awfully strong female characters in Rose, and of course they're all Aunt Esther's children, too.
But you know, what is curious is that for many years, the complaint about August Wilson's work was that he didn't write for women very well, or sensitively. And I find just the opposite to be true, particularly with Rose Maxson and with Aunt Esther's children. I mean, they are the central characters in all of his work, especially Rose, and especially Aunt Esther.
Yes, I'm sorry to break the chain of thought, but I couldn't help but notice that as you were speaking about Rose. Again, we're speaking with Riley Temple, author of Aunt Esther's Children Redeemed, about the plays of August Wilson. And as we come to a close, maybe you can tell us what is theological about these patently secular plays.
Yes. There's certain theological themes that we that have come to be accepted, I think, in the study, in the scholarship, in the academic field, that is theology, and you're thinking about providence, forgiveness, the Trinity, redemption, and each one of these plays is a story of a character's journey from being stuck in the past or stuck in resentments and finding a way to finding their song, in other words, finding that blues song, finding that sense of identity, finding that place where they can stand up and walk on their own two feet and be free. And the process by which that happens is called a journey of redemption and freedom. and that's a theological theme. There is also the important question that August Wilson asks over and over again in these plays, which is, how does God affect, a belief in God, affect our people? And he asks the question, how does the enslaved person worship the same God as the enslaver? Some people answer that question in his plays, and some characters answer it with a peaceful coexistence, like Aunt Esther, who combines all of that, but there are other characters who reject that enslaver God and reject that God bitterly.
Well, I think at that, with that fascinating question, which clearly needs more discussion, we've run out of time, but it's been great speaking with you, and everyone should read Aunt Esther's Children Redeemed. Thank you so much.
I hope everybody will buy the book and read it, and then go out and see an August Wilson play the next time it comes around.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.